Our scripture today comes from the 16th chapter of Mark and starts at verse 16 and continues on to the end of the chapter. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me, then after a little while you will see me. You will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me.' And because I'm going to the Father." They kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you come from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is so powerful and so important. I want to repeat these last few lines. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is one of those things that resonates through Scripture. One of the things that I find interesting is that some of the most important things in the scripture keep popping up again and again and again and again, as if God thinks that we're forgetful or that we lose sight of things and we need to be reminded. You can go all the way back. You have Moses. One of the first characters in our story, and he says, "Why would you send me to Pharaoh, Lord? I'm kind of slow of speech and I don't speak well." And he says, "I'll send Aaron with you. Don't be worried. It'll be fine." So then Moses says, "Who shall I say sent me?" "Say, I am has sent you. But how will they know that I am sent by you?" "Well, throw down your staff." God keeps reassuring Moses, it's not going to be your responsibility to do it. It's going to be your responsibility to do what I tell you. Don't be worried, not because you're not going to face adversity. You're going to face adversity in the Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt. But I will give you peace in the midst of it. It's hard for us to understand this dichotomy because we want God to fix it the obvious way, the way we see. That makes it the most obvious way, doesn't it? And we want him to fix things so they'll be the way that we think they should be. When I finally started to wrap my mind around this idea, I was able to understand that I could make improvements to the world. I can challenge things. But if I did everything my way, it would just merely be a different set of mistakes. And I've taken to actually saying that. I said, if I was in charge, we wouldn't be making these mistakes. We'd be making a whole different set, because I do not understand and perfectly know the mind of God. As I thought about how to put this in a children's sermon, and I came up with the idea that we see a rough road and we want the road to be graded and be made smooth, and sometimes God just says, "You know something? I'm not going to make your road smooth, but I am going to get you through the rough road." Because what happens when you overcome a rough road with God? You develop more confidence in God and draw closer to him. The rough road served a purpose. But it's hard for us in our minds to get used to this idea that God gets to choose which roads get fixed and which adversities he merely pulls us through in our eyes. I was trying to think of an illustration, and I thought of one. I'm not sure it works. You'll have to give me some feedback on this. In my first appointment, I worked at a place called Metropolitan United Methodist Church, 8,000 Woodward Avenue, four-story, city block, Gothic-style building, huge place. And each year, they had something called the Moravian Love Feast. It was a Christmastime service, and what would happen is we would walk through the service where communion is hinted at through simple bread and water. It is lifted up with music. It became a classic for the city of Detroit, and CBS decided that they were going to put it on television. And they came to record it. And they came into our staff meeting, and they talked about what they were going to do, and they said, "We're going to broadcast it. We're going to broadcast it live. And we're going to record it for rebroadcast at other times. We asked, where are you going to set up the cameras? They said where we want them. How is the sound system going to work? I said, the way we do it. We asked specific questions. They were very evasive, and they were not going to give us answers. And they said, you just need to sign the contract. And we were concerned about several things. Metropolitan, you all should go and take a trip one day and do a tour. Because even the tiles on the floor were created by artisans. The woodwork is impeccable. It is it's a tribute to God. It's really an amazing place. But as part of the contract, we had to give up any direction on how they were going to do what they were going to do. But they also signed a contract saying that they would fix and restore anything that they disturbed to our satisfaction. So they came rolling in. And the people who rolled in knew that they essentially owned the building. And they start prying open stained glass windows and throwing electrical cords through, taking cameras and microphones and installing them all over the sanctuary. I was very, very nervous about all this. And Bill Quick, the senior pastor there at the time, said, Reed, he says, just focus on what you do. He says, just memorize the Gospel of Luke, Christmas story. So when my time came, I got up and I recited the Gospel of Luke, Christmas story from memory. He told me afterwards, he said, I was kidding. I was just trying to get your mind off everything else that was going. You really didn't have to memorize it. But when they left, they went out and they warped the frame of one of the cast iron frames for the stained glass window. They did a few other things, and we were dubious and disappointed. Next day, an artisan comes in and he says, I was hired by CBS to fix the window. We gave him the window, he took it, he came back, and it was better than new. We looked at the nicks and the things, and they came in, and it was as if not only they had never been there, but as if the restorations that we had hoped for were brought to reality. I don't know if this is a perfect analogy, but giving up control, giving up having to know how things are going to happen, when things are going to happen, why things are going to happen, and placing yourself in a position of trust is difficult but necessary. In talking to Mike Savoy, was one of the CBS guys that was there, and he actually gave me one of his bags as he was leaving. But he says, this is the only way it works. If we have to go into extended negotiations for every piece of the puzzle along the way, everything that we do, everything that we need, we'd never get done. And the presentation would be horrible. Can you see this from God's point of view now? If I have to negotiate everything along the way, are we ever going to get done what I think needs to be done both for you and in you? Do you understand that in this world you will have trouble? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. I've told you these things so that you might have peace in me. I'm not going to make the peace out there. I'm going to make the peace in here. I'm not going to do it in the way that you see it. I'm going to do it in the way that I see it. Sometimes he calms the storms, sometimes he calms the sailor. Sometimes he makes the road easy, sometimes he strengthens us so we can take the broken road. I know many times I would have chosen the smooth road, but God didn't. But in the end, he brought me to where he needed me to be, and I couldn't be more thankful. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, I know it is tempting for each of us to pray that our way might be smooth. That the rough places and challenges would be smoothed over and we could just pass by. But help us understand that the rough roads, the detours, the challenges that we face along the way can be as valuable or more valuable than the destination that we eventually arrive. Help us to understand that even as things do not go the way we think they should, that we can find our peace in you. We can trust that you are doing a much better thing than we can conceive. Help us to understand how much you love us. And help that love to bloom and grow in our lives until we live lives of thanksgiving, giving it away and sharing it with everybody that we know. And all God's people said,